This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
This is Sophia, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone, calling in 716-748-0144. Or if you have a computer or smartphone, you can log in by bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, and click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with questions by calling in to our guests free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-888-429-5471. Mr. Paul Hellyer has been involved in politics for a majority of his life. Tonight I'm going to ask Mr. Hellyer questions about his book, Light at the End of the Tunnel. Good evening, Mr. Hellyer. Thank you for being with us tonight.
It's my pleasure.
How are you doing this evening?
Pardon me?
How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I've had a very busy day. One of those days when you have two or three days' work to do in one day. I'm off to Ottawa tomorrow to make a speech, which I've addressed some members of Parliament on the new trade agreement that they're proposing here, the Canada-Europe trade agreement, which is to be replicated sometime south of the border, and saying that it's not something that should be ratified, that it's not in the people's interest. In fact, I'm calling it treason because it takes away our sovereign rights to make our own money and decide our own future. And so that's what's been on my mind all day, but now I'm concentrating on you and the program and other things.
Well, I wish you the best of luck tomorrow, and I hope that, you know, we can get through this and really make a change, because I do believe that we are in the need of a change. I want to start off by asking you here, because in the beginning of your book, okay, what really baffled me was when you mentioned the Chinese moving into Africa, and you kind of hesitated about even mention it in your book. It almost felt like, is this why we see so much famine and plague and poverty and most recently the Ebola outbreak in Africa? Is this part of that, perhaps, that movement from the Chinese?
No, I don't think there's any connection there. I think they're just the Chinese are looking after their own interests. And they're thinking ahead. Africa, as you know, is very resource-rich.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been going in and buying up resource properties and moving some of their technology in and so on. And I think it's what any great power does when they have to extend themselves overseas in order to get the resources that they need to keep their industries going and to provide opportunities for the next generation.
How long has this been going on with the Chinese buying a property or land and mining for their to build industries down there? How long has this been going on now?
I really don't know. I'm not an expert in that subject. I was just mm-hmm. interested in noting it when I was there, but I guess it was four years ago. And just an observation I made when I was there and had it verified by friends that I talked to, but it's not a subject that I really delved into at all.
Okay, let me jump to one that maybe perhaps you do, that might have changed since your book, and it's on 9/11, and I have to admit, I'm going to admit, I really did enjoy your book, and your book is like almost as you speak, as like I hear you now. But the 9/11 part of your book, has anything changed since, you know, you have written that book?
Are you talking about the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes.
Yeah, what has changed is that I've taken a firm position on it now.
Mm-hmm.
In my latest book, which is The Money Mafia,
mm-hmm.
A World in Crisis, I think you have a copy of that, too.
You know what? It never came.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry to say it on air, too, but it never came. So,
oh,
yes,
dear.
That was the one I was looking forward to.
It was, well, it's carries on where light at the end of the tunnel leaves off. Actually, it's probably wise to read Light at the End of the Tunnel first and then move on to The Money Mafia,
mm-hmm.
And the World in Crisis after you've read the Light at the End of the Tunnel. But yes, I have, in the latest book, I've taken a position. In Light at the End of the Tunnel, I just hedged because I wasn't ready to make take a firm stand. And so I did what a lot of writers do. I said that there were some unanswered questions, which was an understatement,
mm-hmm.
But let it go with that. And I had, my instinct told me there was something that wasn't right about the official version of what had happened. But since then, I have, seen the document written by 1,000 engineers and architects of the United States,
mm-hmm.
who all signed a document saying that the official version didn't hold up. And that's mm-hmm. a lot of, professional people. And then there was a major general, who had been in the United States Army. I think his name was Stubemeyer or something like that. And I saw a YouTube by him, saying that first he thought, this is the official version was probably correct, but then his wife asked him some questions and he started looking into it and approached it the way he would if he was back in the intelligence business, and came to the conclusion that it had been a controlled demolition, that the planes had not had any significant effect and bringing down the towers, and especially the ones that weren't hit by planes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very convincing because he had been in the business all his life, and to come to that conclusion, and there was no equivocation at all. It was just he was heartbroken, I guess, would be the word, to find out that his country had let this happen
mm-hmm.
when they could have prevented it. And then they... Probably the final thing was a book by Dr. Judy Wood. And I forget the exact title, but it's something like Where Did the Towers Go?
Mm-hmm.
And she is a doctor of engineering. And I met her 2 years ago when I was speaking in Hilversum, Holland. And she rode in the same car to the conference that my wife and I were in. And she was very pleasant, so we said, well, we'll certainly go and hear your presentation, which we did. And we were so taken by it, and the audience was too, that she had to take an extra hour that she was given, and it was just absolutely convincing that there was no way that the official version could be correct, and that neither the kinetic nor the heat energy from those two planes, it would have been impossible for them to take down any tower.
Absolutely.
And so she did this 5-inch, well, maybe not 5-inch thick, maybe 3-inch thick book with nothing but evidence. And if you read that, you come to the absolute conclusion that it was, that the first of all, that the official version is not correct. And secondly, that the high officials in the United States government knew that it was going to happen and did nothing to stop it from happening, which they could have done if they had wanted to and put all the armed forces on red alert. And thirdly, that there was a new kind of energy involved as far as Judy is concerned. And she was the only one that took this position. And her evidence, I think, was the most compelling, that not only was there possibly a controlled demolition, but that some new device was used which had the power to reduce concrete and steel to dust.
Wait, so this, are you saying that this is not, as you know, what's been going on mostly in the media with molten steel? This is a new technology?
A new technology, yes, indeed. And probably based on some knowledge, either based on the writings of Nikola Tesla, or of information gleaned from the extraterrestrials. But it's something like a disintegrator, and it's a particle sort of weapon. And so she shows beyond measure that most of those towers never hit the ground, that they were completely turned to dust on the way down. And it's a most fascinating analysis, and one that I found absolutely convincing. So I actually had her write a short page and a half or so for my book, Money Mafia, telling it in her own words, because I thought that this is something that the American people and others were entitled to know, because it's probably the greatest deception and maybe in the history of the world.
Exactly. That is so interesting. I've never heard anything like that until tonight.
You're not probably old enough to have heard Buck Rogers in the 25th century. But when I was young, that was one of a popular radio program, and they had disintegrators.
I did not know that either.
And this was something like a disintegrator. Sorry about in there.
That's interesting, because I wondered how much was they made off of the steel and the iron from the towers falling. Because a lot of people are aware of, oil and gas, and they think oil and gas rules the world. What do you think about why we do not hear in the media about steel and iron's market, because we're constantly hearing about the iron or the gas and the oil, but why don't we ever hear about the steel and the iron? Do you know?
Well, I guess it's not as controversial. On the steel and iron don't play that important a part in global warming, which is the number one issue worldwide, I would say, today. It's one which, unfortunately, in the United States, there's a lot of disinformation put into the system to try and confuse people on the science. And it reminds me, of course, of the tobacco industry, and exactly they're doing the same thing with global warming, and trying to convince people that it's just natural and it's a normal cycle and this sort of thing. When in fact, the science is absolutely clear. Just about every indicator in the world is rising, and very quickly, and most of it is due to us humans. There may be a little bit from external, and I don't deny that, but most of it is from us, and we're the only ones that can do anything about that.
And so, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but perhaps that we are experiencing global warming is because we're taking too much from the earth as to the oil, or right?
It's because we're using oil as a fuel.
Right.
Putting too much carbon dioxide in the air, and at the same time wrecking the oceans so that they don't create as much oxygen, and cutting down rainforests at a rapid rate so that they don't absorb as much carbon dioxide. So we're doing just about everything wrong, and have been increasingly since World War II. And so that was really the reason. I had no intention of writing the Money Mafia, the world in crisis, because I thought when I finished The Light at the End of the Tunnel, that was my major work, and that would be it. But so many things have come to my attention since then, and so much new information, and some of it frightening information as to what's been going on in the U.S. in particular, and also in other parts of the world, that I just had to write it and warn people that they should look at it and find out for themselves what's going on, because they will never find out from the mainline press, and then they may feel impelled to try and do something about it before it's too late, because time is running out, and if we don't do something pretty fast, we could find ourselves and wound up in the New World Order, as they call it, with a government that is autocratic, to say the least, and probably, you know, could be better labeled, if you called it a fascist government or something of that order, which is what certain people have in mind for us and have been working at for a long time. And, they're powerful people, and they just have to have that power curbed, or we're going to be in very, very deep trouble.
I agree. I think we are already in very, very deep trouble. I want to move us along. I can feel the anticipation from, you know, our listeners here. I want to ultimately know, do you or have you encountered any extraterrestrial beings? Have you had met any or encountered UFO experience?
You mean extraterrestrial beings personally?
Personally, yes.
No, I haven't, but I had a long chat in London with Timothy Good a week ago. And I don't know if you know him or not.
But I do not.
Pardon me?
I do not.
He's one of the major ufologists. He's in the class with Stephen Greer and Moulton Howe and Paul Harris and the other really top ufologists in the world. And he has on three occasions, and it was fascinating listening to him describe the circumstances in which these people came to his attention and how they verified that they were, in fact, extraterrestrials when he spoke to them not verbally, but telepathically. And so it was great. And he described them very tall and with blue eyes and blue or green eyes and quite handsome people. But these are species that are of a certain class, and they're very different from the grays, for example, which mm-hmm. are the short ones with the big heads and the long, skinny arms and legs that are so often depicted in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like when you're talking about the more human-like ones, are you referring to what is known as the Palladians?
Well, they're one group that have characteristics similar to our own, but there are several from different planets and different star systems. I don't know whether you could just sort of lump them in as the people of light or not, but there are quite a few of them in mm-hmm. what is called a federation. Mm-hmm. And I think most of them are beings that have characteristics that are not too different from our own, so that they can be in walk in our company, and most people wouldn't even recognize them. In contrast to some of the, you know, ones like the ones from Reticuli and other places, where they're quite distinctly different and would be quite frightening if we were to see them walking down the street.
I'm going to take a question that's coming in from a listener. This is coming from Jake in the UK. And he's asking, are the UN world governments conspiring with extraterrestrials to institute a new world order? And have you been to the Bohemian Grove?
Well, the answer to the first question is, it's hard for me to say categorically mm-hmm. what is happening because there's no real evidence that you can get your hands on. But and I don't know to what extent the UN is in the loop, as it were. Mm-hmm. But certainly the cabal, which has been running the United States and much of the Western world, and the cabal comprises of the banking cartel, worldwide mm-hmm. banking cartel, the oil cartel, the major transnational corporations, the elements of the intelligence agencies like the CIA, the FBI, and the National Security Agency, and a big slice of the United States military. They are certainly in contact and have been for a long time with one or more species and have made agreements with them. And one of the things that I really come down hard on in my latest book is that this is the kind of thing that has got to be made public, because the public of the United States have a right to know what the so-called shadow government has been doing for the last 50 years and what they have accomplished in the black ops and how dangerous it is and what the purpose of some of the things that have been developed. For example, this new energy that I was describing that was probably used in the World Trade Center is something that they would likely have developed in one of the black ops. And so they have been in contact, and in my opinion, we're entitled to know what the agreements were, whether they have been lived up to or not, and whether there's any concern with the conditions that were in the agreements and so on. But this is the kind of stuff that that we're only going to know for sure mm-hmm. when there is an investigation that is really a real investigation into what's been happening for the last 60 years. And there doesn't seem to be much indication on the part of the shadow government or the other government, if they are different, to open this up mm-hmm. and let the light in. And one has to be concerned at the reasons why, after all these years and the Cold War being over, we haven't been let in on the secrets that the U.S. people have been paying for all these years, trillions of dollars, and let us know what they've accomplished and whether or not we can take verbatim what Ben Rich said. Ben Rich was the former CEO of Lockheed Skunk Works, and he told some of his colleagues before he died at a banquet that the U.S. now has the technology to take E.T. home.
Hmm.
And there are quite a few people that I know who agree with that is, in fact, the truth.
Interesting. I know you didn't finish the second part of the question, but I have a few more questions. And if you just want to just say yes or no to Bohemian Grove, I think that will make our listeners...
The answer is no.
No. Okay, great. Thank you. Another question. Rob, coming from Ontario, Canada, what is the physical evidence of alien visitation?
The physical evidence?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those of us who have seen UFOs would say it was physical evidence. People, including somebody I have interviewed, have been inside the ships. And others have worked on the black ops in the Area 51 and in the S4 and those other underground facilities in Nevada and Arizona. And so there's just so much firsthand information, witnesses. I've heard dozens and dozens of people who have seen them and who have worked on them and know about them firsthand. And so it is just, as far as I'm concerned, compelling. And we have to accept the fact. I guess one of the problems now, as one of the witnesses said, is to tell the difference between an American UFO and or spaceship and one that actually comes from another planet or star system.
Another question. Robert in the UK, do you think Neil Armstrong became reclusive because he was under orders not to talk about his knowledge of extraterrestrials? And what exactly did the astronauts learn during the moon landings?
Well, I can't answer either one of those questions.
Okay.
It is my belief that there was a general prohibition on talking about it. This is just the same kind of prohibition that applies to the people who have been working in the black ops. And a few whistleblowers have been very harshly dealt with, as I'm sure you know. And so I think there's certainly the information that some of us have been privy to secondhand or thirdhand, is that there were that some of the astronauts saw, probably not only spacecraft but also installations on the moon.
Okay, thank you for answering those questions. I better turn this over to our engineer, Don Newsom, to bring us into a break, and we'll be right back after these moments.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBS
Radio.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land, yeah.
us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak, every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
This is Sophia Ray, and we are back with Mr. Paul Hellyer, who is talking about the ET presence that may be upon us and anything that he knows in answering questions from our guest at the moment. Before we have a caller in line, but before we go to the caller, I just want to ask a quick question here. I do want to know, and this might seem a little far out, and I don't want to, you know, go too far out here, but it's like the movie The Star Wars. Is there a real cosmic war going on right now, and has it been going on for a while?
I don't know. I know people that, that claim that there is something called a silent war.
Okay.
But I don't have any direct knowledge of that, and so for me to express...
You mentioned in your book something about a weapon being used in space.
Well, I don't remember specifically, but certainly the United States has developed weapons that can be used in space.
Okay.
And they would be similar maybe to the one that was used on the towers in the World Trade Center, mm-hmm. which would have the effect of... with a direct hit of just reducing a spaceship to rubble. So that these are the things that we should know. And I think, you know, I was touched by some of the ads that you had at the break,
mm-hmm.
because one of my reasons for writing the latest book and also Light at the End of the Tunnel
mm-hmm.
was because the world has become so twisted. Now, after 9/11, the United States doubled its defense expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
That was used as an excuse to double defense expenditures. If that much money had been used to provide health and welfare and food and water and so on to the world starving, it would have transformed the world. It would be an entirely different world. But one of the chapters in my new book is called, well, there's one, The Two Americas, but there's one that is the militarization of America. And what has happened since World War II has been this constant increase in expenditures on weapons of war. And the world just can't go on this way. It has got to change.
Mm-hmm.
One of the messages, and I mentioned this in my new book too, that came through 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, was that we earthlings have to start changing our ways of living or we're going to destroy our planet. That's the way we're headed.
And yes, it is.
They were looking for us to start doing something this year because the prediction was made in 1974, and they said in 30-plus 10 years, something has got to begin. Not the whole transformation, but we have got to acknowledge that we're going in the wrong direction and start turning around, and instead of spending more money on armaments and starting new wars that can't be won, and doing all of the things that we've been doing wrong for the last two decades, to start trying to repair the Earth, to treat it reasonably, to save the oceans, and to start living harmoniously with our home, the planet, and providing more justice between the haves and the have-nots. Whereas this globalization idea that was really foisted on us by the rich has had just the opposite effect. Both the rich countries are getting richer relative to the poor countries, and the rich people are getting richer relative to ordinary and poor people.
Absolutely, I agree. I want to get into our caller here. We have Mike from California on line three. Can you put him through for us, please? Thank you.
All right, my question for Mr. Hellyer is, when do you see the extraterrestrials, if they are indeed in contact with humans and governments, when do you see them publicly coming out and declaring it and helping us alleviate and take care of all these problems that you just mentioned? I am very interested in that, because I really don't see humans getting themselves out of the situation they are right now. I see it as ultimately self-destructive. I don't see anything changing the course of world powers dominating and destroying. I think it would take a miracle or extraterrestrial intervention.
Well, first of all, I believe in miracles, or I wouldn't get up in the morning. Secondly, the latest information that I have from people who do channeling and so on is that members of the Federation are ready and anxious and willing to help us, as they have been right along for the last 60 years, if they were invited to do so. But they have had a rule of non-intervention, and all they have done so far is to talk to some individuals and get them to write books so that some of the truth will come out, the truth that has been hidden by the cabal and the military-industrial complex, and get more people interested and aware of what the situation is. So that's all they've been able to do so far. Whether the situation would get so bad here that they would intervene or not, I really couldn't say. You'd have to get that information, I guess, directly from them. But I know there's all...
And by them, you mean the extraterrestrials or the government?
The extraterrestrials. Because...
Oh, okay. That leads me to my next question, Paul, and that is Shag Harbor. You're Canadian. You were part of the Canadian government. This is an incident that happened in 1967. Did you find any secret documents, or can you talk about Shag Harbor?
Well, there's no secret documents that I know of. There probably are, but I haven't seen them. But that was one of the early incidents, and I think one of the things that we learned from that is that UFOs can operate underwater as easily as they can above water. And so that opens up a whole range of issues as to whether or not there might be underwater bases.
Well, has the Canadian government acknowledged that that was a UFO?
No, I don't. The Canadian government hasn't acknowledged that there is such a thing as UFOs.
Okay.
Well, maybe I should correct that. They have acknowledged that there are unidentified objects, but not that they, you know, that they are from distant planets.
Thank you.
I have a question also that's coming in from Samantha in Chicago. She wants to know, how many species of aliens do you think there are? Are they friendly, or are some of them dangerous? And she also wants to know, in how what kind of, you know, something what Mike just said, you know, helping us. But do you know of how many species of aliens that we're dealing with? And are there species, you know, really living in underneath ground here, as proclaimed by many so-called conspiracy theorists?
Well, there are quite a few questions there. But,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with Edgar Mitchell. It was one of the Apollo astronauts. But he came to see me soon after I went public on this subject 9-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having dinner, and it was kind of interesting. It was a little coy at first about the crash at Roswell, even though he had lived there. And he said, the alleged crash. And I said, what do you mean alleged? And his face went all red. then he came back and he said, well, how many species do you think there are? And I said, somewhere between 2 and 12. And he said, yes, that's what I believe, too. Since then, I have found seeing numbers that are much higher than that, and they just keep going up. I think you can imagine if you start multiplying the number of solar systems and universes that there are, that the number would be, you know, astronomical. But the number that have visited Earth has, or have had some interaction with us seems to be rising very, very quickly over the last few years, and you get numbers up as high as, you know, 100 or more. And as far as them being friendly or not, the consensus is, and this is one that has been confirmed by the U.S. government or the shadow government, too, in their briefings to the presidents, the consensus is that most of them are friendly, that they're benign, and that they have wanted to help us from a way back. Because you probably are aware that there was a meeting with General Eisenhower, and they offered to help us if we would give up our atomic weapons. But the generals were afraid that it might be a, you know, a ruse or something, and they wouldn't buy that agreement. And instead, they started trying to catch up on the terrestrial technology without giving up anything. And so, in the process, we want to know who we are working with, because in those briefings, they have usually said that there is one species that is not friendly. But no one has stated publicly which species that is. And so I guess the answer to the question is that most of them are friendly and most of them are benign, but there could be one or maybe two at most that have been recognized as being unfriendly and maybe more interested in having a greater say in the future of our planet than we would want them to have.
Okay. Yeah, I think just as much as something, you know, whether if it's a very intelligent being, it's an extraterrestrial or a human being, just as much as somebody can be kind, they can be, you know, quite the opposite. It's just as much. Let me switch over here to another question.
We're not all consistently saints, are we?
What was that?
Sorry.
Okay, let me finish another question. I have one that's coming in again from Robert in the UK. Considering our whole history, our world history, will need to be rewritten. Okay, he's saying considering our whole world history will need to be rewritten. Are the people of the world ready for full alien disclosure and its implications?
I think they are. I know that the officials claim that they're not, but that's one of the reasons that they're holding back. But I think they are, and I think people can stand the truth. Sure, there would be a bit of a shock,
mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about something that is as strange or stranger than science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing what people can, you know, adapt to. And I'd look at it this way. If the people in the know, and there are a lot of them,
mm-hmm.
who have taken oaths and who know a lot more than most of us by far, if the people in the know can absorb that knowledge and live with it and get on with it, then I don't see why the rest of the people, us ordinary folks, can't. And that's the reason that I have been pushing for full disclosure, along with Stephen, mm-hmm. name from Washington, and others who really think the time has come when we should know what is happening and what has happened in the past, and what the range of options is for the future, and how we mm-hmm. should react to them. We have a right to know that.
Right. I agree.
This is a major feature in my new book, too. I really would urge people to consider getting a copy of The Money Mafia.
I hope I get my copy.
I hope so, too. And reading it carefully, and they might even want to give some to skeptics or friends for Christmas or Hanukkah, because it's got a lot of information in it, and it really answers a lot of questions that we've been talking about tonight and a lot more that we haven't been talking about.
I look forward to reading it. I really do. I enjoyed Light at the End of the Tunnel, which was a great book. And speaking about the book again here, you mentioned inside of there that there was a contract between the extraterrestrials and the government. What can you shed more upon that?
Well, this too is, you know, we haven't seen the documents.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the contract was that they would be allowed to mutilate a certain number of cattle for food and to abdicate, at least to take a certain number of people in their ships for medical examinations and perhaps procreation and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But and in exchange for technology. The question is, I think it was found later that they weren't coming clean with the records. They were supposed to report the number of abductions and so on, and that they may not have kept their word on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so one has to wonder if the species doesn't keep their word on one or two things, if their word can be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
So these are just some more reasons why we should find out the truth and the sooner the better.
Yeah, I absolutely want to know the truth. And if the government didn't keep their word or their oath to the contract that was, you know, they had, I sure like to know what they, you know, didn't keep. So that's very interesting. Did you talk about it at all in your next book?
Yes, there's a reference to it there.
Okay. If I receive your next book, will you come on the show again so we could talk about that book as well?
Oh, sure.
I would really appreciate it. I mean, I'm enjoying talking to you with you right now, and you're giving me a lot of information, things to think about that I haven't thought about before.
Well, I think you would find that the Money Mafia would raise a lot more questions.
Well, and that's awesome, because I love asking questions. And in fact, I got another one coming in here. We got another question from Rob in Ontario again. Architects and engineers for 9/11 truth have zero faith in the theories of Dr. Judy Woods. How do you reconcile promoting both factions?
Well, I think if you're talking about the architects, I haven't seen the reference that he's talking about. But I think they were going on the basis of the technology that they're familiar with, which is controlled demolition, and that they were, may I say, perhaps not up to speed on what has been accomplished in the Black Ops and so on in the last 60 years. And they will, in my opinion, find in due course, when the truth is known, that there are new technologies, such as the one that Judy alleges was used in the case of the World Trade Center,
mm-hmm.
and that it is similar to weapons that have been created for possible use in space.
A lot to think about there. Let's see here. Are you familiar? There's been some, it's not quite anything that was stated in your book or anything else. It's something I just want an opinion from you. And I've been hearing about the United States military has collected over time some guillotines. And have you heard anything about Obama collecting guillotines?
You're talking about guillotines?
Mm-hmm.
The things for cutting off your heads?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
You have not heard anything or any rumors about the guillotines at all?
Not on that. No, I have heard and have some things in my book about underground cities and about railway cars with manacles in them, which are frightening enough. And you have to ask, well, for whom? Who is someone who might wind up in one of those railway cars, and why? And why were they being built? And so there are enough things that are worrisome without guillotines. Whether that's true or not, I have no way of knowing, and I just can't really respond to it.
I have a caller in the line, Paul, and we're coming to a close end here. I got Anton from from North Carolina on line 3.
Yeah, hello. How you doing, Mr. Paul Haler? I really appreciate. I heard a lot of your talks and speaks over the internet for a while now, and I must say I have the utmost respect for you coming forward with this information. But my real quick question is this: if these aliens exist, if there's extraterrestrials around us, why not improve the civilization with that technology? And prove all mankind with that technology, and so that we can unite this planet and unite every human race on this planet.
Well, I think the answer is that we have used some of it. Some of their technology is already in use, quite a wide range of it, but not as much as could be, and not as much as could be in some important areas like agriculture and medicine. And I think that's one more question we should ask the government of the United States and perhaps of Russia and Great Britain and others, is why they haven't concentrated more on trying to get access to technology that would be of more benefit to the rank and file, to us ordinary folks. And that would include these, as I say, agriculture, medicine, and of course, as far as the future is concerned, they will need them if their technology to help clean up our oceans and air, or give us some hints as to how to do it if we're going to survive as a species. So there's a lot of negotiation necessary there to see if we can't get some help before it's too late. But first of all, we have to clean up our own act, and that's how I wind up. My newest book, and I recommend it for anyone who is interested in the future of their country or of their world, and also is something to share with people who are not as far advanced in their knowledge of these matters as you are.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Anton. Good questions. We do need to really focus on our planet. Our planet seems to be failing because the human race is failing, most definitely. I do want to see a change to come to humanity. I think everybody needs to be more aware of their position, of what they're doing to help or to see if they're even helping or if they're contributing to the failure of the planet. And I do appreciate your book very much. It gives us a lot of insight, something to be more aware of, paying more attention to our surroundings and how we're either helping our surroundings or if we're killing the surroundings.
We've done a pretty poor job so far in the last, most of the century.
Yeah,
most of the previous century, I should say.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to smarten up and do so right away if we're going to survive as a species, because terrible things could happen to us if we just continue on the way we're going.
Oh, I agree absolutely. And we do have some commonality in wanting to change and bring a better. Oh, we need more love and compassion in the world. Is this the ultimate truth? And I think if we bring more love and compassion, that probably we would be able to meet things as maybe extraterrestrials. Maybe you say that, you know, just are kind of in the cloak of in the invisible part of our reality, or
most of them, certainly the ones that we should count on in the future, are more spiritual than we are.
We have to, you know, Paul, it was a good night with you tonight. I appreciate you staying up late for us, and I look forward to having you on again. I really have to wrap this show up. I like to give you a big thanks for tonight. I want to give our listeners a thanks. And also I want to give a shout-out and a big thanks to our engineer, Don Newsom. Time is up for tonight. What can you do to be part of the change for humanity in our planet? Also, tune in next week into the Godfather of Reality TV, John Barber. And I hope you all have a very good night, and take care.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.